Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? And most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren, sponsored by LuggageForward.com. Now here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Hello and welcome once again to Talking Golf Getaways. Glad, as always, that you found us. I'm Mitch Lawrence in beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Darren Bunch, my partner in travel and golf crime, is out there in California. And we are thrilled, Darren, because you and I are both aficionados of what we call brown. We love to share with each other and with others our love of whiskey, our love of golf, and those things are going to come together in a big way with a really special guest, I think. I am excited. You've had a chance to spend some time with Bill Welter of Journeyman Distillery. I am thrilled. I'm really excited to talk to Bill and learn more about what is a great, great product.
Oh, yeah, man. Bill and I had a great time in Australia where we met for the first time and became fast friends. Plus, it's always good to have a friend in the distillery business, I've learned. And we just love Journeyman Distillery. I think we've mentioned it before, but we took a trip to Bandon Dunes and we just polished off, completely annihilated in a couple of days, a bottle of their Buggy Whip wheat whiskey. And so we're going to talk about all kinds of whiskey and some of the great golf that Bill has played all over the world.
All right. Well, I can't wait to get to it, and we'll introduce Bill to our own Talking Golf Getaways ritual in just a second. Before we do that, glad you found us. GolfNewsNet.com, also iTunes podcasts, Audio Boom, and Stitcher. Download us, listen to us in the car. It's a great way to travel. Darren, you can find on social media at Getaways Golf on Twitter, at Golf Getaways on Instagram. You can find me on both at Mitch Lawrence, LauranceE. And before we get to Bill, we want to thank our sponsor, and we are thrilled to have them on board. Luggage Forward, a fantastic company. The trip to Bandon that Darren just mentioned, I got to use them for the first time. I cannot tell you the relief of stress and angst that I felt when I had Luggage Forward shipping my clubs to Bandon Dunes, which is not a real accessible place. They picked them up at my house. They were there when I got there in perfect condition. And Darren, it was just a fantastic service that I had never used before.
You know, and one of the other great things about using them on that trip to Bandon is we flew in and out of Medford and needed a rental car. And when you ship your clubs with Luggage Forward, you can get a much smaller rental car. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to get the big giant SUV so you can put everybody's golf bags and travel bags in there. I use them all the time. I've had them ship my clubs everywhere from Minnesota, Phoenix, different trips. And it's just a relief when you get to the airport. You just don't have to worry about all the stuff with your golf clubs that you normally do. So I don't know why people don't use them more.
And those of you worried about what's the price difference, it is almost nothing. It is so reasonable. I will never go anywhere with my golf clubs needing to be where I'm going without using Luggage Forward, and that is the truth. You can find out more. Check them out. LuggageForward.com is the place to do that. And trust me when I say that you, your back, your stress level, we'll be glad you did. All right, let us get to our special guest. I mentioned him before, Bill Welter. Journeyman Distillery is just a fantastic spot. He is a frequent golf traveler. According to Darren, I haven't had the opportunity and the privilege of playing with Bill. Darren says he's a great player, that he never misses a putt. I'm going to ask him about that. I find that hard to believe, but I'm going to ask him about it. You can go to journeymandistillery.com. You can go to social media at journeymandist, that's D-I-S-T, on Twitter at journeymandistillery on Instagram, and see what they're doing. And after talking to Bill, I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of you that are going to do that. Bill, a golfer himself, he played college golf at Missouri State. Go Bears. He lived in St. Andrews in his younger days. We're going to talk about that. He's going to do an emergency nine with us in just a bit, and we'll share that with you. But right now, we want to talk whiskey. And we want to talk Journeyman for a few minutes. We're going to get his perspective on the big Australia, Tasmania, King Island trip that he and Darren took earlier this year. Bill, it's, as I said, it's really a treat. I've heard a lot already from Darren, but I can't wait to talk to you. Welcome to Talking Golf Getaways.
Well, thanks, Mitch. And it's good to be with you. And of course, it's great to reconnect with Darren here and reminisce about our Australian trip, and certainly happy to talk about a little whiskey. And one of the best things about meeting Darren was we've got a new customer. Darren is buying out the local store in Bakersfield, California. They're sold out. We've got to get more journeymen to the store in Bakersfield.
It's funny you mentioned that. Yeah, because it's a tradition for us to drink a little bit. Mitch and I do on the show. And I have in hand a bottle of your Featherbone bourbon whiskey that I'm going to pop open. And we'll just have a little nip to get started.
And I'm sitting here with Buggy Whipwheat Whiskey, which you introduced me to, Darren, on our abandoned trip. So, Bill, I'm sure that you're working, so you won't do this, because God knows that while you're working, you're never around whiskey.
We've got to make the stuff, Mitch. But I will mention Playboy magazine recently named our bourbon one of the 10 best made outside of Kentucky. So I had to put that little plug in. I don't know if anyone reads Playboy anymore, but it's nice to have those accolades.
Everybody does. That's what they get it for. You know that.
Yeah.
I only read Playboy for the pictures of the whiskey.
That's probably true, which is really sad. All right. Cheers, Bill. Here you go.
Cheers.
Thanks, Jones.
Let's start off. I have to tell you that, as I said, I knew you were going with Darren, and I thought it was fascinating, given our own journeys, Darren and I, with golf and whiskey and trips. But I went to the website, journeymandistillery.com, and it is not only a fantastic website, but the story of how Journeyman got started, what you guys represent, your tagline right away blew me away, which is the adventure of spirit. A great twist on that phrase, but it's really kind of what it's about. Tell us a little bit about what you do and what you make at Journeyman.
Yeah, well, my wife and I started Journeyman in 2010, and we set out with the idea of creating something by hand. Joanna was in the hotel business, and I was working in the restaurant business at the time, and we both were ready for a change, and we wanted to create a family business with the intent of that business being a multi-generational business. So we're trying to make the best decisions in the short run for the long run. We've got a little four-year-old girl that we're just in love with and hoping that she'll be a part of the business someday. But of course, essentially, when it comes down to it, what we're doing is we're making distilled spirits. And as you two gentlemen mentioned, a variety of whiskeys, but we also make gin, vodka, and a handful of other products as well.
You said that you were in the restaurant business. How did you, was it a part of the restaurant business that you were always interested in? In other words, you went into the distilled spirits end of it, as opposed to the food end of it. was that something that really interested you right off the bat?
Yeah, I've always been interested in hospitality. Our family was in the banking business. My grandfather, William, purchased a bank in Valparaiso, Indiana in the early 70s. And my father came along and started to run the business shortly after. And my dad was president and CEO for about just over 30 years. So I actually was intent on kind of carrying on the family business, started working in the bank upon returning from Scotland. I lived in Scotland for about a year and a half in 2000 and 2001. I came back to work for my dad. The bank was sold about 5 years later in 2006, unexpectedly. It was my dad's hope and dream and vision to have the business continue on. But some of our other family members had a different idea. So long story short, the bank was sold in 2006. And at that point in time, I was kind of left looking for what I'd call a plan B. I'd invested heavily in the idea of working in the bank, working for my dad, continuing the family business. And in my early 30s, I was left without a job and looking for whatever the next great idea was going to be. And that's that's when I kind of pursued a passion that I had, and that was the hospitality industry. And at that point in time, I moved to Chicago and began working in a very successful restaurant in Lincoln Park. And but long story short, Mitch, 3 years in the restaurant business in Chicago left me really questioning that idea. if you guys have worked in the restaurant business, you know how hard
it is. Oh, yeah.
And so after 3 years in the industry, I followed back around with my very good friend, Greg Ramsey, who had opened a distillery in 2006. And Greg and I had remained close friends after meeting each other while living in St. Andrews, Scotland. And I had an opportunity to have Greg basically assist me in getting into the distilling business. And in 2010, that's when we opened Journeyman.
Now, one of the things we should mention, we've mentioned a couple of the different whiskeys. We mentioned the Buggy Whip Wheat, which you had told me was the was one of the favorites. And you know, obviously, we can't dispute that with the way we polished it off at Bandon. We mentioned the Featherbone Bourbon Whiskey. One of my favorites, this little sample I got from you while we were on the trip of Snaggletooth Coffee Liqueur. My wife and I can't get enough of it. We make these spiked hot chocolate drinks with it, and we burn through this little bottle in just a matter of days. And so, you know, I think that's one of the things. You know, talk a little bit about just kind of what goes into kind of the breadth of what you offer.
Yeah. Well, we're located in Michigan. So we have a passion for creating a variety of different products. I mean, it's an art form, really. And it's once you get into it, it's almost like you don't want to stop your creativity, and you just keep making more and more products. The focus initially after my time living in Scotland is I fell in love with the whiskey business and whiskey in particular. And so that was our main focus at Journeyman when we started. But being in Michigan, the laws allow for us to have a cocktail bar at the distillery. And at that bar, basically, we can only serve what we make. So right out of the gate, there is a real heavy emphasis on creating more products to stock the bar. And so the coffee liqueur was a byproduct of really consumer demand, to be honest. It was requested at the bar. It was something that people wanted to see. And, you know, it was something that we were happy to provide. And I got a real kick out of a text I received from Darren, and it was an empty bottle of the coffee liqueur. And he mentioned it, he was using it in his coffee in the morning. So I knew Darren and I were going to be good friends.
I'm dead. If that's the truth, I'm dead. I'm just telling you right now.
So you mentioned the bar there. Tell us a little bit more about the facility there in Three Oaks. It is Three Oaks, Michigan, right?
That's right. Yeah. Three Oaks is a great little, it's actually a village. It's a village of about 1,000 people in Southwest Michigan. We're kind of nestled down here in the corner of the state between Lake Michigan and the border of Indiana, actually. So we're way down here in the Southwest corner of Michigan. It's a little nook of a town, lots of great attractions from little artist shops, restaurants. There's a century-old meat market called Dryers. There's just a lot of antique stores. There's a wonderful little art house cinema that seats about 150 people. There's the Acorn Theater, which is a live performance theater. Three Oaks has its own radio station. So it's a town of 1,000 people, but it's a town of really a tremendous amount of creative, artistic people that are really providing a lot to the area. And I drove down the main street in Three Oaks in 2010 looking for a location for the distillery. Came down the main street and just fell in love with the town almost immediately, and just had that kind of eye-opening light bulb moment where I thought, well, this would be a wonderful town to have a small distillery in. And I came around, came to the end of the street, the main street there, took a left at the post office, and came down a little side street there. And we were looking for an old factory building to put this distillery in. And lo and behold, in this tiny little village of Three Oaks, there was a large factory building. And one thing led to another. We were able to work something out with the owner and started construction on the building and renovations. And in 2010, Journeyman Distillery was born.
So had you been to Three Oaks before?
You know, it's funny. My dad's mom, my grandmother, her family had a small cottage not far from Three Oaks. And they had been visiting that area since the 30s. Her parents had a cottage there. So as a kid, I would visit this little cottage, and we would drive right through Three Oaks on a little road called Route 12. And to be honest, had never made that left turn into town prior to that day that I made that first trip into town, but had driven through Three Oaks many, many times. It's a wonderful little town and has so much going for it. And this is just this area of Southwest Michigan. We're in what they call harbor country. We're just a few miles from Lake Michigan. And believe it or not, here in this county, we have 17 breweries. We have a handful of distilleries and a number of wineries. And so really this is it's a destination for Chicagoans. It's a destination really for people all around the country to come and see the beaches, but also it's obviously alcohol centric with all the different producers here.
Sounds like my kind of spot, alcohol centric.
Yeah, it's great.
It sounds absolutely perfect. You are, Darren and I, as you know by now, are Hickory only players. So
yes.
We're tied to centuries of craftsmanship and artistry and wood. And it sounds like you found a spot and you've built a distillery, judging again by the website and reading and looking at the videos where, I mean, your floors are old marble and you have a great variety of a connection to the past in the distillery, as well as what seems to me like fantastic amenities for anybody who comes and visits the distillery.
Yeah, honestly, it's just an amazing building. We couldn't have been luckier. It's an old 1880s factory building where believe it or not, Mitch, they actually used to manufacture corsets and buggy whips. So it's true. It's
all right, that gets into dangerous territory.
Yeah. Well, and we have a party every 4th of July weekend. It's called Corsets, Whips, and Whiskey. Of course, adding to the humor there.
I think we have to go to that, Darren. I don't know why. I just feel like
definitely.
We have to go.
and at the distillery, I mean, you mentioned the bar. You've got a restaurant there too. You've built a putting green, didn't you, with the help of our friend Craig Haltom from Sand Valley. You've got a little bit of everything.
Yeah, right now the putting green is in progress. Craig and I are working diligently to complete it. We're looking to seed the first couple weeks of May here, and with the hope that this putting green could be up and going in as soon as July. But the genesis of the putting green is, of course, I lived in St. Andrews, and Craig and I going back a bit. Craig, as you mentioned, is the principal in Oliphant Golf and is leading the construction at Sand Valley. Craig and I went to high school together. The two of us played high school golf together. I went to Scotland to pursue kind of, I guess I call it my PhD in golf. After having played college golf at Missouri State, I was really interested in the history of the game and decided on kind of a hope and a prayer to move to St. Andrews. Got a work visa ended up doing some waiting of tables and played as much golf as I could, as you'd imagine. But Craig was down in Edinburgh studying at Harriet Watt University for landscape architecture and with a focus on golf course design. And that kind of obviously, if one of your best friends can construct a giant putting green, you take advantage of that. And Craig has in a little bit less of an illustrious project compared to Sand Valley, we're building a putting green that is inspired by the Himalayan putting green, the ladies putting course there in St. Andrews, with the hope, I think, that we're bringing a little piece of Scotland to Three Oaks, both with the whiskey and now with the putting green. So it's going to be about 25,000 square feet with large mounds, just like the Himalayas in St. Andrews. And I know both of us are just thrilled to have the opportunity to work together on this and do a small golf project.
Well, that was a perfect transition into our trip to another place that had some amazing greens. Obviously, as the first time you and I had met, we took this trip to Australia. I've kind of detailed the trip on another podcast. Craig was with us as well. It was the first time I had met him, even though I had been to Sand Valley. It took me a while to realize that Craig's porch at Sand Valley is actually named after Craig. But it was a blast. We had a blast, the three of us. As I mentioned on the other shows, for the listeners who have heard those, you know, we did a few of the classic courses, New South Wales, Kingston Heath, Royal Melbourne. We went to Tasmania, did Loss Farm and Barnboogle. We went to Ratho Farm, which I'm definitely going to ask you about. And we went out to King Island as well. So, you know, what we want to know is, of that trip, and obviously it wasn't your first trip because you and Greg Ramsey are friends and go way back. You know, give us one or two of the highlights from the trip.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I mean, of course, for me, the highlight is always seeing Greg. And I mean, we'll jump into the golf, but Greg and I met in St. Andrews. Greg is a master barman at the Roadhole Hotel, and he's really the guy that got me inspired and into whiskey. Just complete chance, of course, that we met in St. Andrews and became friends. But really, you know, the genesis for the distillery, Craig Haltom's involvement in Sand Valley, it really goes back to Greg. And I really can't say enough about the guy. He's a visionary. He is an entrepreneur. He's a wonderful individual. And has just been a real inspiration for me, and I know I can speak for Craig Haltom as well. And now that you've met him, Darren, you can speak to the guy's energy, his enthusiasm, and the guy's just a brilliant individual. So obviously, I'm a big fan of Greg's, and he's just been so generous with the opportunities in Australia, as you mentioned. I had been down there before, and Greg has facilitated some of these trips to what I would most certainly say are some of the world's greatest golf courses. So, been very fortunate to have met Greg, and obviously we were had a wonderful trip in Australia. And, you know, it's fortunate, of course, Darren, that, you know, you and I and Craig and Greg just hit it off so well, and just had, you know, really, I mean, these trips are just once in a lifetime.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's funny. Let's talk about Ratho real quick. Since you're talking about Greg and it's his family farm, it's equal parts, kind of unique, quaint B&B, old style farm living, / party house. I remember you guys referring to Greg as the playboy of Ratho Farm. And you're right. I mean, he's got such tremendous energy, and he's such just a fun-loving guy and a great guy to be around. You know, we've mentioned on other shows he was instrumental in building Barn Boogle. He's got a new project at Arm End. But just talk a little bit about the Ratho Farm experience and the old golf course and the new holes and just everything about it that makes it so unique.
Yeah, you know, it just reminds me so much of when my first trip to Scotland. My dad and I went over in '95, and that was my first opportunity to see Scotland, and the old course was the last day of our trip. We were there for 5 days, and to be honest with you, I didn't really understand Scottish golf at the time. You know, I was 18 years old, and to be frank, was just really looking forward to the old course. And I remember we played a golf course called Brora, and Brora at the time had, you know, these little like electric fences around the greens, and there were sheep all over the golf course. And I think I said to my dad, you know, Dad, this whole golf course in America would be ground under repair. And you know, but looking back on it now, there's such a charm, and there's you know, the golf course Brora I'm speaking to, just you could see the genesis of the game there, you know, how it began, and of course Ratho in Tasmania is Australia's oldest golf course. Greg has done some recent renovations and brought back the last four holes and completed the golf course, making it a full 18 holes. And it has that same charm. It has that same really just raw ingredient that is the genesis of the game. It's going back hundreds of years, and you can see those elements in the golf course much the same way that I look back now at Brora, and it's an experience that you're not going to, you know, find Ratho on the top 100 list, but it's on the top 100 list of unique golf experiences. And you know, to be honest with you, obviously, Darren, you know, we played Royal Melbourne and Kingston Heath and New South Wales and some of the, you know, Barn Boogle and Lost Farm and just some of the most wonderful golf courses in the world. The experience at Ratho, I think, is on par with any of those. And of course, Greg's hospitality is second to none.
You know, it's a great description, Bill, because Darren and I went to Scotland summer before last, and you're talking about Brora. Neither of us had been there. It was recommended by a good friend, Tom Mackin, great golf writer, and he... Once we were there, we know exactly how you feel, and that part of the game and those kind of places... is amazing. I mean, they kind of blow you away. They really take you by surprise.
It truly is. And Brora, you know, Ratho, it's really the end of the earth, to be honest. I mean, you travel so far. These places are so sparsely populated, and it's just a unique experience. And it's so rewarding to travel such great lengths and see these places. And for me, it's just the game of golf has provided me with just so many wonderful opportunities, and that's where you know, I've just been grateful to have the opportunity to do some of these things.
Well, you had the opportunity to experience another place that Darren talked about prior. I'm interested to get your feelings on King Island.
King Island, again, another one of those places that you just. When you get off the plane there, you just say, does this place really exist? I mean, we drove in, you know, the first evening and to the golf course there at King Island, and just a wonderful, amazing scenery, that is just really unparalleled. You know, the two golf courses there that we played, I think would stand up to any in the world. And I think we were fortunate too, as well. We caught both those golf courses on days that you just don't see a calm, very very little wind, sunny, and the experience there is about as unique as you're going to find anywhere in the world.
Bill, talk a little bit about, you know, back on Tasmania, Barn Boogle and Lost Farm. Obviously, you've been to Bandon Dunes. You've played other destination golf. You know, talk about how that property stacks up and that experience stacks up to some of the destination golf in the country.
Yeah, I mean, I've been very fortunate to have traveled a lot and seen many wonderful golf courses from, you know, Shinnecock to Pine Valley of Pebble and it's you know, many of the Great Links courses in Scotland and the site that Barn Boogle is built on is as good as any. What I love about it is that the golf course isn't overwhelming from a distance perspective. In other words, you know, I'm not a real long hitter, so I enjoy golf courses that have a little bit of run in the fairway, but also aren't 7,200 yards long. And you know, the greens are accommodating. And I think Tom Doak I think it's a masterpiece from the standpoint that every hole just kind of flows into one another and they all seem to make sense. I don't think there's a weak golf hole on the entire 18. And obviously there's many, many holes there. They're just world-class, second to none. I love the elevation changes at Barn Boogle. I think that's one of the key characteristics of some of the best golf courses in the world. There's some real elevation changes and probably my most important part of the rating for me, or when I look at a golf course, is just, was it fun? And it's a lot of fun. I mean, there's a lot of fun golf shots out there.
And are those final three or four holes that come back, the prevailing wind there makes you play into the wind? The day we were out there, obviously, it was blowing pretty good by the time we got to the back nine. They got to be among the toughest, or I guess the most challenging, when it comes to the wind perspective of probably anything you find.
Yeah, that 18th hole is brutal. I mean, it's one of those things where if you're hitting the ball well and things are going right, I mean, it gives you an opportunity to kind of overcome a challenge. That being the, you know, it seems like there's always at least a 20 to 25 mile an hour wind out there. And of course, most times the game gets the better of you. The wind wins, the golf course wins, but don't we all love it when we're coming down the last few holes and there's a real challenge there and we're able to overcome it. But I, you know, like I said earlier, I think Tom Doak, I think it's one of his best, if not his best. And it's something that more people should see. It's hard to get there, but it's not that hard. And it's worth every ounce of energy that it takes to get to Tasmania.
Right. As we wrap this up, we could go on for a long time. It's obvious that you have great passion for the game, which we all do. And it's great to talk to somebody who feels that way about it. But as we wrap up, this was not your first trip. What tips do you have for first timers? If you have a couple things to recommend, what would you say?
Obviously, Sydney and Melbourne are two of the finest cities in the world. I mean, anyone that would travel to Australia would be remiss in not spending time in those two great cities. New South Wales and in Sydney is an incredible golf course. Of course, Kingston Heath, some of the best bunkering we've ever seen in Melbourne. Of course, there's Royal Melbourne. It's just wonderful. And then, I mean, for me, just to be honest, Tasmania is kind of the crown jewel to the Australian golf. And in my eyes, I'd spend as much time as possible in Tasmania. So many things outside of the golf in Tasmania. The people are just so welcoming and friendly and so many sights to see there.
There was one thing I wanted to mention. I didn't mention this on the earlier show, but as Bill was kind of talking about different things to do and different cities to explore, obviously Sydney and Melbourne. And I had mentioned the fact that in my episode we did earlier, Bill, that, you know, I wish I had had more time built in to be able to do, you know, a day in each of those cities as opposed to the grind that we were on. I know you got to experience those cities a little bit more than I did, and a little bit of the nightlife. We'll just leave it at that. But one of the cities, I think people, you mentioned Tasmania, people need to explore Hobart. It is just, it's a cool town. And one of the things that Bill and Craig and I did late one afternoon is we went to what is called MONA, the Museum of Old and New Art, Mitch. And it is trippy. It is cool. It is this kind of crazy art that goes down underground, like three levels, all kinds of just unique artwork and displays. There was a room I went into that was nothing but strobe lights. That was, I felt like I was in some kind of acid trip. And it was a blast. So I talk a little bit about MONA, Bill.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I loved it. I mean, I graduated from university with a minor in art and really loved that experience. A gentleman, I guess, made a small fortune and invested most of it back into this facility. It's interesting. You walk in on the top level, and then you just go down multiple levels into the ground. So I don't know how to describe it. I think you did a good job, Darren. It's modern art, and it challenges the way you think about things, how you look at things. And I think we all walked out of there with, you know, kind of a new look at museums. I mean, I think it's the, if I remember it right, it's the most expensive privately owned museum in the world, I believe.
You know, I'm really glad that both of you brought up MONA and Hobart, because I was feeling like that really wasn't enough for us to experience on a trip to Australia and Tasmania and King Island. So I'm glad you added that to it.
I will tell you this, Mitch, and this I probably will cut out in editing, but it also includes the largest hallway of plaster of Paris vaginas anywhere in the world.
Well, I think you should leave that in just for in case there are those of our listeners who are interested in that kind of thing. You know.
All right.
It could be a whole new audience. All right. Well, this has been an absolutely fascinating discussion. You may remember long ago at the beginning of this podcast, we thanked Bill Welter of Journeyman Distillery for his contribution to Darren and my love of whiskey. And spirits and distilled spirits. And that certainly is true. We've gotten to find out a lot more about Bill and his passion for the game and travel and Australia, Tasmania, King Island. And we're thrilled to have had you on, Bill. And hopefully you've enjoyed it. We're going to do an Emergency 9 golf travel questionnaire with you, which people will be able to listen to also. You can find Bill at Journeyman Dist, D-I-S-T on Twitter. At Journeyman Distillery on Instagram, and of course, journeymandistillery.com. And we also want to mention before we leave, if people want to get in touch with you and find out a little bit more info on a personal level and maybe talk about some samples for this great distillery, they can find you, Bill, at journeymandistillery.com. Tell us a little about that.
Yeah, I mean, to the listeners out there, we have a golf-focused product, actually. It's a whiskey. It's our four-grain whiskey. It's equal parts rye, wheat, corn, and malted barley. And we call it Silver Cross. That was one of the early medals given in the early days of the British Open golf tournament. And so it's a tribute to golf. As I mentioned earlier in the cast here, attribute a great deal of my opportunities and success to the game of golf. So we actually give back 1% of the sale of our Silver Cross whiskey to the First Tee organization in all the states that we distribute in. Additionally, we give back to the Evans Scholars Foundation as well. And to any of you golfers out there, if you're interested in the product, shoot me an email. We'll see what we can do about some samples, and would love for you to learn more about our Silver Cross whiskey.
Well, how cool. It doesn't surprise me at all that you're that kind of person and that you and your wife created this and a tribute to the game. It's just, it's all fantastic. Thank you. Whole thing. And Darren, thanks for connecting us all with Bill. and journeyman. I know this has been fun for you to relive the trip, and we're going to get that emergency nine underway, and we're going to dive deep into your golfing soul, Bill.
Yeah,
I hope you're ready. Darren, it's been fun, man.
Oh, yes. And as always, we want to thank the listeners. We couldn't do it without them. Hit us up on Twitter. I'm at Getaways Golf. Mitch is at Mitch Lawrence, appropriately. Use hashtag Talking Golf Getaways, hashtag Emergency 9, or our favorite hashtag Two Haggis Bags to get our attention.
And it certainly will. Thanks for being with us. Bill is a perfect example of somebody who ran down his dream, and he's made it a dream for a lot of other people. We hope you keep running down your dream. Tom Petty, take it away as always. So long.